You know, Christmas is a, boy, you know, we all have our things we do at Christmas time. And of course, our families, very, very small families, you know. But we are all, God's worked it out where it always just kind of works out that we're together at the Christmas Eve Lord's Supper here at the church. And then after that, we go to our home on Christmas Eve. That's the only time our family's ever really together at Christmas time as a family. We go and we have, I don't know how it ever started like this, but we have a meal at our home. It's always breakfast. We have breakfast. And Joel does the eggs. I don't particularly know that John does anything, but he's there. He's talking, you know, he's helping. But anyway, we have just a really a great breakfast at night. That's what it kind of is. Then we go into the living room and we have our Christmas program. We actually have a worship service, a family worship service. After we have that meal. And it's very organized. There's a program. And it's never really changed much over all these years. I mean, it's the same old stuff. And Dottie, by the way, she puts this program together. And she is in charge of the program. They have a little bell that they ring to start the program. And then Dottie calls on the different people to do different things. Now, something very different happened this Christmas Eve at our home. We got in the living room, and everybody kind of sits always for, you know, we always sit in the same seats. Did we not? Is that your home the same way, you know? You always just sit where you sit. Well, this year, Charlie Joe just announced, this year I will run the program. She's eight. We need to pray for who one day she marries, I'm telling you. Well, she did, and that she just got right in front of the fireplace, sat down on the little footstool, and she started calling on people to do their stuff. Well, no sooner had she said she was in charge of the program than Joel Jr. said, well, next year I'm running this thing. So we'll be praying now about how that's going to be. But anyway, it was just a great time. Then we kind of swapped gifts, except some of John's stuff we wait and do on Christmas Day because Joel and his family won't be there. And so on Christmas Day, in fact, on Christmas Day this year, they left for Africa. Can you believe this? To go over and climb that mountain, Kilimanjaro. And thankfully, yesterday afternoon about 1:30, they landed back at Intercontinental. They actually went to the summit. In fact, you know, I try not to brag on grandchildren, and I'm not sure I'm bragging. I'm not sure this says they did something good or they're crazy. They went to the summit, and he is the youngest person in the history of climbing that mountain that ever has gone to. He's six. He'll be seven very soon. The other youngest person, he broke the record, was 7 years of age, and so Joel actually broke it. I never thought that family would make it to summit, but they did, and we're so thankful they're safe, they're back home, etc. Well, on Christmas Day, it's a lot calmer at the house, and so John came, and we had lunch, and we were going to kind of swap some little gifts there with just the three of us. And John said, Dad, I messed up last night. I had you a gift. And I forgot it and left it at home, but I brought it today. And he said, here it is. Of course, you could guess, unwrapped. Here it is. Kind of pitched it at me. And I looked at it. I'd never seen this book. And here was the title of this book, The Joys of Successful Aging. That's it. That's the book. And I have these ordered, by the way. They're just not here yet. They're coming. Well, I looked at that deal, and I thought, now, you know, is this like a joke? Is this like a put-down? Is this like him trying to tell me something? I mean, what is the deal with this book? Well, I thanked him for the book. I turned over on the back to see who had written this book, George Sweden. And I would be familiar with him because he, at one time, was president of Moody Bible Institute. He's a very scholarly man, a prolific writer, but I'd never seen this book. I thought, well, it's going to be a pile of junk. And but on New Year's Day, I thought, I'm just going to kind of look at this book and read a little bit and see what the deal is. Now, this is one of these kind of books, when you start reading it, you can't put it down. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there are some books when you get into it, that, man, this thing, there's some good stuff here. A lot of quotes, a lot of data. They're just very scientifically put together. I mean, some tremendous material, so well written. And so I launched into this book. Like on page 14, I wish I had more time, and I do, but like he has a whole page of things how to tell when you're getting older. Now, I really didn't need to read this page. I already know that, but let me read just two or three things. He said, number one, when your knees buckle and your belt won't. Number two, when you get in a rocking chair and you can't get it rocking. Number three, when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Man, I believe it. When you bend over to tie your shoelaces and you think, is there anything else I ought to do while I'm down here? And then one more. I like this one. When it costs more for your birthday candles than for the cake. Well, you know, that's kind of the little funny part. But actually, as you get on into the book, it's just some real practical things. And so what I want to do today, I'm just going to... Now, I shared some of this on January the 3rd with our teenagers. And, you know, they probably have forgotten what I shared. But anyway, if you're getting it again, you're just going to get it again. And then in a moment, we're going to go in the Word of God and see how God tells us in His Word gives a rather upbeat picture of aging. Now, let me just mention some things that you'll find in the book. And the book will be here soon, and we'll have it over the table, and you're welcome to get it, or you may want to get one before. But I tell you, you'll enjoy the book. You'll enjoy sharing this with others and be blessed by reading the book. Well, one of the things in the book that he talks about, now we've all heard this all of our life, but he had kind of a new way of saying that old thing about use it or lose it. Now we've heard that all of our life, use it or lose it. But he had an illustration that I'd never heard. He said, getting older is like water skiing. When you slow down, you go down. I thought, well, I've never heard that little comparison, but you know, that's so very good. Now, it's interesting, it was on Thursday, January the 3rd, I was doing the devotion for the teenagers as they were meeting, and I left my office walking right through the commons to get to this very room right here. I was going that way and coming, and as I was going out, I saw a group of men that were disassembling that monstrous Christmas tree that we have out in the commons at Christmas time. Of course, there's a big lift that lifts people up, but there was this group of men that take that tree down. And I'm over here to talk to the teenagers about how to grow older and in a good way, and thinking about, I'm going to talk about use it or lose it. And I looked, and there's about 7 or 8 of these guys, and I thought to myself, each one of these guys has retired from their jobs, but they've not retired from life. And that's the real key right there. And of course, many of you have retired, but you've not retired from life. And one of the things I'm going to mention you're doing by even being here today. So that, to me, was a very, very interesting thing. And you know, we just need to keep going, and we age much better when we do that. We may go a little slower. In fact, we do. Maybe it takes a little longer to get everything done than it did. But that's not what matters. What matters is that you just keep going, and God gives us strength to do what we can do. And that's really a good thing. And I watched that. I've watched it all these years. You'll see some people, when they get to a certain age, they just kind of quit. And that's not good. You know, they need to keep active doing something. He has some tremendous stuff about that. Another thing he talks about, and I was a little surprised where he got his material in the book, it's that people of faith, listen to this, live longer and healthier lives. Now, here's the kicker on that. It's in the book. He didn't use some sermon that a preacher preached. He gave a study from Harvard University. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I'm not sure it's 100% right, but it's close. It may be 100% right. I hope it's wrong. I would doubt there is an evangelical believer teaching anywhere at Harvard University. Now, there may be, but I rather doubt it. Interesting, Harvard began as a school to train preachers. And today, it's kind of gone the way of the secular world. Yet, it's a great academic school. Interestingly, he has studies done at Harvard University about people of faith they not only live longer lives, they live healthier lives. And I found that to be so very, very interesting. Another thing he has in the book, he says, it's a great section about not being a loner, not being a loner. And he makes this little comment, and I thought it was very, very good. He said, you know, people need people. Now, that's true. People need people. And people connect with other people. And, you know, many ways that happens. One way is through marriage. And of course, in time, normally one mate goes to be with the Lord before the other. But then there's friendship, there's clubs, there's teams. And then a big section in here about church. And he had more data about that, what the, you know, whether it be the church or the synagogue or wherever it may be. People, you know, interact with people. And I thought about this on Thursday, January the 3rd. I'm over here in this very room dealing with teenagers, the senior adult group, and here they all are. Now, that's an interesting group. If you've never been to that group, they come over here and play games. They do all kind of things. Of course, they have John normally comes and gives this little devotional, and then they have lunch. It's a great thing. The point is, there's interaction with the group. That's one of the great things about church. That's where church has the edge over doing church on TV. I watch stuff on TV, and I watch sermons on TV and listen to it on the radio. The problem is, though, you know, you don't interact with anybody. You're not blessed by other people, and you don't have the opportunity to encourage or care for and interact with other people. It's kind of a two-edged sword. So, you know, this whole idea about don't be a loner. And I want to encourage you. I'm not suggesting you join every civic club in town, but, I mean, people need people. God made it that way. And it's all on our side when it comes to church, because that's what church is all about. Church is about people and people interacting with people. And that's why I encourage people in our church. We now call them connection groups, Sunday school classes, Bible study classes. Or some churches have small groups. Well, whatever you have, that's a healthy thing. And it's a good thing, and people live longer and healthier lives interacting with other people. And it's a blessed thing. Now, in the Bible you have on page 531, there's this little section here. This in Psalm 91, it's a great, great psalm that it really gives kind of an upbeat picture of aging. Now, I'm 77 and a half. You say, well, is that old? It's just 77 and a half. It's whatever it is, you know. But obviously I'm aging, and, you know, whatever your age is, you're aging too. We're all aging. You know, with age, you know, a lot of things get involved in that. You know, things change. Would we all agree with that? You know, I was just talking to somebody a while ago that said he had a tooth broke. And I've sure been through that. And I said, in fact, they just said they'd come to the dentist, had a tooth broken. I said, well, why do you think it broke? They said, well, I don't know why it broke. I said, well, do you chew ice? No. I said, do you eat almonds? Oh, I love to chew almonds. I said, that's it. Right there, you broke them. He said, how do you know? I said, that's how I broke mine. Yeah. I said, you just may as well chew ice cubes. And I love almonds. They're healthy for you, probably the best of all the nut family. But you get old, your teeth. I didn't know this. I never thought about my teeth getting old. But the dentist explained to me, it's not a matter of flossing altogether. You have to floss and do all that stuff. But, you know, your teeth age. And when these things age, they age. Well, you can't do everything you used to. You know, Jimmy Carter says in this book, very interesting before I read this scripture, he said anybody, now Carter, I think, if I remember, President Carter is like 95 maybe. He's something like that. He says anybody at 60 that says they can do what they did at 20 wasn't doing anything at 20. I like that. This book's full of this stuff. I'm telling you, it's just loaded down. And, you know, I hear people say, preacher, I can do what I can do at 25. And when I read that, I thought, I bet they wasn't doing much at 25 either. Not doing much now. But anyway, well, it is what it is. But here's the deal. The Bible is what it is, and it is the Word of God. Look with me on page 531 in Psalm 90, in Psalm 92. I said 91. Psalm 92 is where I am. Look down in verse number 12. It's a very, very choice portion of scripture about aging. It says the righteous, that's a person that's right with God and right relationship with God. Remember, we are made right by Jesus, you see. It's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness in us. Okay, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. But the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Now watch this, verse 14. They, now it's talking, they, this pronoun they, refers back to the righteous people. In other words, they're all, if it's talking about the older people that are right with God. They shall steer back, they shall be able to read a sentence. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. You know, I want you to look at that little section there. It says, they, talking about the older people, says, they shall bear fruit in old age. That means they will continue to be useful. And you know, I can just close my eyes and think of so many what we call senior adults that are still blessed. They're still useful in so many different ways. And it says they'll be fresh and green. I love that little statement. Fresh and flourishing means they'll have zest and optimism and they'll participate in life. So continued involvement. And here it is. This is really an upbeat picture. This is, you know, this is one of the things I mentioned last Sunday in my sermon about that morning prayer. And I don't have those over here today to give you, but John has this in two of his booklets, and I encouraged the people last Sunday to pick these up. We ran out of them. We'll have more this week. But that's how I begin my day every day. I don't just read this prayer. I pray the prayer. Sometimes I'll be 15, 20 minutes ever getting through this prayer. Like the first line, thank you, God, for the gift of this day. And this morning I read that. Long before daylight, I read that. And I just stopped right there before I even read the second sentence and said, Lord God, I do thank you for the gift. It's Tuesday. Tuesday Bible lunch is resuming. And I'm going to start another year. Jimmy said we're going to all commit to for another year. At my age, my contract with the church now is just like month at the time. You know, it used to be year at the time, now it's month at the time. But anyway, it'll be what it'll be. But the point is this, aren't we blessed today to be alive and be here? You know, let's just give God glory for that. God, thank you for the gift of this day. And then let me just read this, not much. Help me to trust you at every turn, to honor you throughout the day. Help me to live this day to the fullest, as though it were my last day on the earth. My prayer every morning, and of course I work my way through that and I do other things. But I just want as long as I can, and I want you to want to do the same thing. Be just what this verse says. Bear fruit in old age. Be fresh and flourishing. And we can do that in the strength of the Lord. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for this book. I'm glad John got me this book. I've just been so blessed by it, and now I've ordered me a lot of them to get people to read it, and they'll be blessed because God aged you. Now, if we don't die, we'll age. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's how you made us. Our bodies age. But God, we can age successfully, and we can age productively. And we may not be able to do everything we used to could do, but God, with your help, we can do some things better than we used to do it. I pray much more now than I did when I was much younger. And I think one of my best ministers is prayer. And I could mention other things, but God, that's true in this room. God, show us the things, but God, more than what we do, help us every day just to say, God, thank you for the gift of this day. Just in our hearts, say, God, this is the day you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And God, help us every day to just be a blessing to somebody out there, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.